show. I say we, meaning I. It is just me today, Devin Siebold, and I got my producer Casey in the house as well. We have a full maybe week of comedy ahead of you with myself, because Jay. I'm sorry, not Jay. That Jay's another special guest in just a second. James and Miguel decided last second not to tell me that they were not coming in, which is interesting too, because this is, I don't know if you guys know this, but this is our third year. We are beginning our third year. We just finished out our second. The contract just got renewed, and I don't know if they just didn't think it would. if they were like, I'll make plans. It won't happen again. They can't. Real Radio can't possibly endorse that show 2 years in a row, or 3 years, actually. Here we are. 3 years, man. You feel good, Casey? You feel like you're on board for a third year of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I can tell your enthusiasm. That's great. Casey's on Indeed right now looking up jobs. He's just going, you know what? I'm gonna not bank on this one anymore. James,
but can run.
Yeah, James and Miguel, they're gonna be out. James celebrating his birthday with his wife, which is fantastic. And we also have Jay in studio. Jay, hit the little red button there so you can talk to me. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, now I can hear your voice. You can hear yours as well.
Fantastic.
But Jay, you're with the Fringe Festival.
Yes.
And we brought you in today as a replacement because guess what? Turns out the other guy that was supposed to be in your seat, Adam Murray, local comedian and actor, got an audition in Atlanta and decided that 45 minutes before we decided to go on, he would tell me as well.
Oh, so you didn't even know.
I did not know he was in Atlanta.
Oh.
Do people just teleport to Atlanta nowadays? What the hell's going
on? Like, we be in Atlanta right now?
I don't know.
I mean, not to get too political, but let's try and move everybody back here to Florida. That would be great.
Weather-wise, It's very interesting that we're here in the crappiest weather that Florida's had in quite some time.
It's
it is now turning into summer. I mean, it really is. And I used to love it growing up. And we kind of had a weird spark. You guys remember the fires back in early 2000s, late 90s, even when all of Florida caught fire? Did you live here at the time, Jim?
I did not. But I will tell you, I'm from California, so I'm more than familiar with fires.
There was like the summer of hell where I lived over in Melbourne and everything was on fire. We got no rain for the entire summer. It was the El Nino, they called it.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And it dried up everything. And I remember as a child, I was growing up, and every afternoon it would start to rain. And then it just reached a period where it just didn't do it. And then I think the past 2-3 years, it started to come back to where now we get that as soon as it hits 1 o'clock, the clouds start to come in.
That afternoon thunderstorm, just to increase the humidity, just to remind you that you live in Florida.
See, the cool thing is that I'm a dad now, and my kids, they're 3 and 4, and both of them take a nap about 1 o'clock. So I get to nap with them at 1 o'clock.
Perfect, with the sound of the rain.
Oh, man. Every day during the summer, I would start to hear the rumbling of the, and I would be like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good nap. And we would pass out, all three of us, for two, sometimes even 3 hours. Just a nice afternoon nap where it's just pouring rain. Then you wake up, and then the rain's starting to kind of dissipate. But then it's cloudy. It's not nearly as hot. Like you said, a little humid.
Yeah.
And then we go swimming and stuff and hang out. And so it's the afternoon shower is very welcome because it cools it off, too.
Yeah,
it's kind of miserable. It's our only, reprieve where they're like, hey, it's 90, but now at least you get a little bit of a shower.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But speaking of Florida, you are producing and directing, correct?
Producer and director,
Producer and directing a show at the Fringe Festival called
Florida Man,
and it is starring our buddy Adam Murray, unless he gets another gig in Atlanta.
No.
What's he going for an audition for? Seriously, think about this, though. It starts in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it does. I actually talked to him on my way here, and I was like, hey, dude, how'd your audition go? And he's like, it went really good. I was trying to, do my best, Adam. It went really good.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you do know that you're mine for the next couple weeks. So regardless of if you book a series regular, sorry, man, you're going to have to pass it up because you're mine.
I mean, you already have the dates booked. His face is on the flyer.
Oh, it's him. He is Florida Man for me.
He's the definitive Florida Man. If you've never met Adam Murray, first off, do yourself a favor and look this man up on Facebook. He looks like he looks like the embodiment of everything Florida.
Oh,
with
yes.
the curly mullet style, almost hair, the beard, the confused look, the reeking of pot at all times.
Yep.
If you shake his hand, you can't pass a drug test for the next 30
that
days.
That is correct.
And that is what he does. Like, that is who he is. And so now he is. Found his calling. Like, when he told me, he's like, hey, I'm gonna be in a Fringe Festival play, and then he was like, it's Florida Man, and I was like, of course.
Yeah.
Like, of course.
When I started conceptualizing the show, I brought on a writer, Michael Thibodeau, who is a really well-known writer among the Fringe circuit, at mm-hmm. least here in Orlando, and I told Michael, I was like, I have the guy. And he's like, okay. He wasn't so sure. So Michael and I met, and I brought Adam in and introduced him, and we sat down and just kind of pitched it to Adam. And I already knew. I was like, this is my guy. Like, when I think of Florida Man, I was like, there's nobody else that I know that can do this.
Right.
And so...
Did Adam come walking into the interview with, like, an Earnhardt shirt on and, like, a can of Jolt Mountain Dew?
Pretty close, yeah. I mean, he has, like, 3 shirts that are on rotation.
He does,
you know?
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, his body's also on rotation, so, like, he gets fatter, but the shirt stays.
The shirt stays, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to get bigger, but yeah. I don't want to go above
a
large.
He's like, I'm still going to wear these shirts. So, we pitched it to Adam, just had, talked to him for a bit. Adam took off just so Michael and I could talk. And Michael looks at me and he goes, dude, he's perfect. I was like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anybody else that could do this. And, mad props to Adam because he's a stand-up comedian mm-hmm. by nature. He's starting to get more into the TV film commercial industry.
Right.
But he's never done stage before.
Mm.
So, I mean, he's just attacking it full force, learning the best he can. And Matt, he's doing a great job.
Is this a one-man show?
No, there's actually 5, a cast of 5. So we have mm-hmm. Florida Man. We have a guy named Andy who plays a guy named Max, who is Florida Man's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have 3 other actresses that portray various people, Florida residents that he will encounter throughout his experience.
Can you give the premise of it?
Sure, I can.
Because I've looked at the flyer, and I mean, you have these preconceived notions when you think Florida Man.
Exactly.
And you think that the newspaper article, I mean, literally, we're at the point where you like go into CNN, and you're like, that is an idiot. And you're like, and it's probably Florida.
Yes.
And you're right. Every time you click on it, it's like, oh, Naples guy. It's like,
yeah.
Ass.
Pretty much. I mean, there's a couple states and people have been sending them to me recently that, North Carolina, man. And I was like, nope, that doesn't have the same ring. Nope, mm-mm. Nope. You're trying.
You mean Petey Pablo? No, 2 white people here have no idea what I'm talking about. Like, I've never heard of them. That's all right. YouTube.
So the concept was...
this is what happens when I don't have minorities on my show. My jokes are no longer relatable.
I'm sorry, dude.
I grew up in the ghetto, essentially. Like, people don't realize this.
Tell me about the ghetto.
I grew up in government housing, and we were the only white family. I thought my name was Devon until I turned 12 and met another white man who was like, oh, it's Devon. And I was like, it is?
You're like, no, I've been going by Devon my entire life.
And they literally were like, hey, Devon. And I'd just be like, oh, Devon, that's cool. My name's Devon. My mom's getting it wrong.
I actually went to Orlando Philharmonic, did a concert up in the Springs last night playing like soul music.
When you call it the Springs, it doesn't get any wider than that.
I know, but no, it's going to get wider because imagine the Orlando. It was beautiful music.
Yeah.
But it was literally the widest soul concert I've ever been to.
It was a soul concert?
They were playing soul music from all soul, like. Yes.
Was it just like 8 different renditions of Moving On Up to the
No,
East
it was
side.
Like it was like Smokey Robinson, The Temptations to Pharrell. But it was played by the Orlando Philharmonic. Mm. And I swear to you, looking around the lawn, it was all surrounding, and it was
the whitest of the white.
It literally, and then people started getting up
snowed.
And dancing, and I was like, oh yeah, we just got whiter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep trying, guys. And, me, myself, I was like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Florida
premise,
Man.
Premise of Florida Man. So we took a series of Florida Man headlines and created a story because we wanted to know, who is this guy? If it was just one singular person, man, Florida Man, what's his story? And so we created a storyline, based off of some Florida Man headlines that people are familiar with. Florida Man tries to buy a boy in Walmart for $200,000. That's one of them. Spoiler alert.
They don't sell boys?
I know, right? My favorite's the guy that, I don't know if you guys ever saw this one, the guy that went to rob the store, but before he robbed the store, he decided to buy like a pack of cigarettes, and they asked for his ID, and he left it on the counter as he left.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's great.
Defending the Florida Man.
So we tried to choose headlines that are more family friendly. So you can Google Florida Man. There was that thing went through a couple weeks ago. Google your birthday and
Florida Man. Story.
Yeah, and everyone was it was memes. It just blew up all over the place.
Now, is this a family friendly show?
It is.
Okay.
I've given it a rating of PG-13. Mm-hmm. So there's some language, but for the most part, it's not going to be raunchy or raucous or anything like that. So there's no killing. Mm-hmm. The worst we have is there's a Florida Man headline where Florida Man headline kills his imaginary friend and turns himself in. Now, that's funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the closest we come to actually anyone being killed by Florida Man. But for the most part, it's going to be just fun, hilarity. And we're going with the idea that Florida Man is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to do good things, but he was cursed when he was a kid. And so anytime he tries to do something positive or help somebody out, it gets flipped upside down. And
so you made Florida Man human.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's still crazy.
I like it. But, so how can people find out more information about it, by the way?
Well, we have a Facebook page, Florida Man Orlando Fringe 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to the Orlando Fringe website, which is where you can get your tickets.
It looks like it starts May 16th.
May 16th, yes. Our first show, 11 p.m. May 16th. And that opening night, I've marked down the tickets to $6.
Mm.
And then the rest of the run, they'll be $10.
Nice.
Now, you will need to purchase an Orlando Fringe button, which is kind of your ticket into the entire festival. And then you purchase your tickets for whatever shows you'd like to see.
Yeah, if you've never done Orlando Fringe, I mean, you're going to go see Florida Man, obviously. But then stay for the literally dozens of other, independent, professional, amateur.
Yeah.
There's such a wide array of entertainment there, from stage shows to one-man, you know, to musicals to
anything you want to see.
Just burlesque. Yeah. I mean, they've got everything.
Yes.
And plus the food on the lawn.
Oh,
they have
and the beer. The beer tent.
Up, the beer tents. It's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's an entire day thing. And yours is at 11 a.m. I mean, go see the 11 a.m. Go see
11 p.m. No, ours is 11 p.m.
Oh,
on
okay.
Opening.
So go to 11 a.m. shows.
There
I mean,
you
sure
go.
There's
just
like,
spend all day.
Yeah, spend all day. 11 p.m. Florida Man. That's fantastic.
But we have 7 shows. So if you can't make the 11 p.m., if that's a little too late for you, you know, we have several shows going throughout the run. But you can find that schedule on the Orlando Fringe website, or check us out again on Facebook for Florida Man. One thing I'd like to point out is it's a choose-your-own-adventure, but I'm calling it choose-your-own-headline.
Okay.
So the third act of every show, the audience gets, and you'll see it on the back of the card that I gave you, the audience gets 3 Florida Man headlines to choose from. You vote at the beginning of the show, and then it encourages you to come see the show multiple times, because you'll have a chance to vote on a different headline to be... To
Very
be seen
cool.
in the show.
Very
yeah.
cool. You gonna stick around?
Sure, man.
I
hope
so.
Stick around
Otherwise,
for a while.
It gets lonely. All right, stick
I got
around.
You.
We'll be right back right here, Real Ass on Real Radio.
Everybody, if you're looking for a new place to go that has live entertainment and great food, then you've got to go down and visit my friends at the Harry Buffalo. It's located in downtown Orlando on Church Street. There is plenty to do there. They have live entertainment, they have bands, they have stand-up comedy, and they even have trivia night. So there's something for everyone. So guys, head on down to the Harry Buffalo now and have yourself a good time. Their music, their food, their entertainment is absolutely great. You're going to love it. I'll see you there. Tell them James sent you.
Hey, this is Adam Ferrara, and you're listening to Real Labs on Real Radio. Look at you laughing.
Welcome back, Real Ass on Real Radio. Thank you guys for tuning in. You can check us out on the iHeartRadio app at any point in time. Also, now on iTunes, hit that subscribe button. You can listen to all the past episodes and the upcoming episodes as well as they are released. Speaking of podcasts, I have a podcast as well. It's called Crying in My Car, a podcast for teachers. And it is fantastic. It's doing quite well, by the way. Casey, not making these numbers up, first week alone with my social media following, because I have a good social media following of just teachers, 20,000 downloads.
Oh, really?
I know. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And so it's doing quite well. A lot of subscribers. And it's not just for teachers, by the way. It's Crying in My Car, a podcast for teachers. But I made it to where it's just me as a teacher and then a non-teacher on the show. And I'm kind of explaining life that I go through to him and him basically telling me how ridiculous it is that I still do that job, which I completely agree.
I used to be a school teacher in California.
Did you?
Yeah, until I got into the entertainment business.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man.
It's crazy.
It's and that would give us bonuses. This is my version of school. No intro needed. Okay. But here's the thing. When you become a teacher, they give you like a schedule of how much you're going to make. And they're like, oh, every single year you get this much of a raise. And yeah. And that is not guaranteed, by the way. Yeah. That is like up to them if they want to give it to you.
Yes.
Like there are certain years where they didn't. And I was like, how is this legal? And some years, like 5 years in, they started taking 3% of my paycheck to give back to the retirement system. So 5 years in, I was actually taking home less than what I was making my first year in teaching. And then they keep adding on insurance and things like that. And now, instead of giving us raises, this year, Governor DeSantis wants to give us bonuses. But the bonuses are based on two things. If you are a highly effective or an effective teacher. So if you're an effective teacher, you get a little bit of a bonus. If you're highly effective, you get a big bonus.
What determines?
That's an interesting thing. This is the thing that determines it. Your administrator walking into your class 3 times throughout the year and writing down how you did.
What?
That's based off of
mints. How is that accurate?
It's not test scores, which is a good thing.
And let me tell you what. I have had an administrator walk into my class during a lesson and give me an effective score and then leave. And apparently, the administrators, because we had multiple in my school, did not communicate that my room had already been visited.
Oh.
And the next class period, a different administrator walked in on a different class getting the exact same lesson and gave me a highly effective rating.
Which tells me
it is all subjective and should not exist. It's a stupid way to evaluate your performance. And this is the second part. Okay, so highly effective and effective. And the second part is your school has to have increased their test scores an average of 3% over the past 3 years. So we're being evaluated now, given a bonus now based upon the last 3 years, which, by the way, some teachers weren't there for the past 3 years.
Yes.
But it still affects them. If your school was crap and you got there and you increased it 2%, but the last year it only increased 1%, it doesn't matter. You don't get any bonus. Right off the bat, Casey, not even making it up, right off the bat, that right there disqualifies 49% of all schools in the state of Florida.
Really?
So immediately right out the gate, 49% of all schools in the state of Florida do not qualify for the bonus next year, no matter how good you are as a teacher or your individual scores.
Now, here's a question. I know we used to have, was it Common Core math?
Yeah.
When did we make that switch? Because it's no longer
Common
case,
Core
right?
was actually, DeSantis said he was going to try to do away with it.
Okay,
still
but that hasn't happened yet,
no,
though?
No. Well, I mean, you can still teach it, but the evaluations and the tests are changing year after year after year. There's so many tests. My school, 1 year, I think it was like 3 years ago, they sent out like the end of the year statistics. So we have 2,400 students in my school. And over the course of the year, we administered 27,000 exams.
Wow.
27,000
tests. When are you teaching?
We're graded.
The kids are just taking tests the entire time.
Our testing schedule is literally every day. Every single morning, we get an email with all the kids that are testing that day. And they're out of the class. And some are out for days, some aren't. We had the state tests were this past week.
Yeah.
And I was assigned hall monitor duty. So for 3 days straight, I literally sat in the hall and made sure nobody came down it. And that was it. And this other students tested in classrooms. And it's incredible, man. The system is so broke. Like, it really is. It's just completely broke. But this is the thing that I worry about. And I think that it's breaking intentionally. because they're shifting now money to the private school sector, which is, you know, the charter schools, the private schools that are funded by for-profit individuals who are looking to make money off of the school system. And those people are the ones that are lobbying for the new bills to be passed, because if the public school system fails, then it shifts the money to them. They go, it's not working. And look, it's not working. It's not working because you're not putting it in a position to work. Yeah. I mean, like, but that's the thing, is they're just they're strangling the school system, and it's embarrassing. I'll tell you right now, the main statistic that kind of popped out at me is, like, during the 90s, like, the average teacher made 7% less than the median income in the United States. Yeah. Now it's 27%. Mm. And the state of Florida ranks like 48th, I think, out of all.
How does this happen?
48th out of 50. There's no, unions are weak. We can't strike in the state of Florida.
Because
which,
it's
by the
right
way,
to work state. Yeah.
Oh. By the way, I'm going to work on that. I know that that sounds weird, and I'm not saying that legally. I'm not saying, if you're listening, Florida DOE, I'm not saying that I'm going to strike. I'm saying that I have a pretty big social media following, and I saw, like, in one of these states, and I want to say it was like Louisiana or something, that they have the "we cannot strike." They did it anyways, and they and just the threat of it happening, even though they kept saying, "Hey, you can't do that," there were so many that said "we will," that they eventually caved to their demands, and they didn't have to. But I just think that I've got so many, my social media, like, reaches each week, like, it's like 400,000 people.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are Florida teachers. And I think that I could pull behind something and get us, like, we're just at a point
you
where somebody needs to step up. Yeah, somebody needs to step up and tell them, you know, hey, look, we deserve more. Like, it's embarrassing what you're paying these teachers. These guys are leaving left and right. And I'll tell you, the one problem is a huge shortage, man. I mean, I've got several classes, like, in our schools that are now manned by subs. And the subs, you only have to have a 2-year degree. That's it. And then you can become a substitute teacher. You just have to have been in college for 2 years. Yep. And the weird thing is I have students that were seniors. They graduate high school, they go for their 2-year, and then they take it as a part-time job. And so now they're back in school teaching my class that literally has now juniors and seniors that were freshmen and sophomore when they were a senior.
That's so nuts.
I've seen that with my graduating class.
You've seen it?
A lot of my classmates have gone back and become subs.
Sub is easy work, because you pick and choose when you want to do it. You don't have to take home any of the work. And I'll tell you, man, that 6:45 in the morning to 2:30 afternoon schedule is pretty good for these kids, because they're like, ah, man, I can be out by 2:30. I can go party, have fun, do whatever I want, still do night school if they're going for their 4-year degree.
Maybe,
but it's a tempting, like, kind of almost lazy job, because most of the time we just leave movies. You know, I leave work, and literally I'll be like, sub plans right on my desk. And then I'll come back, and they'll be like, hey, couldn't find your sub plans, showed a movie. No,
right.
No, you did.
We'll show Romeo and Juliet.
You did find the sub plans. You just saw that I had you do working on them.
Yes.
I was like, hey.
You actually had to teach.
Yeah, can you read this and answer these questions with the kids? And they literally will write it on the board. They'll be like, read this, answer this. And I'm like, no. I said, can you do it with them?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's because if you just have them do it, then it doesn't get done.
It's social hour.
Yeah, it's social hour. But my students, this is the thing, I'm really strict. Like, I'm very strict when it comes to, like, getting stuff in. And they think, because I'm a comedian, they're like, oh, he's going to be awesome. And then they get in my class, and I'm never awesome. I want them to, like, get real life. And I won't play favorites. I won't be lenient, because life is not lenient. And I kind of learned that early on, because there was a student when I taught middle school, that all the teachers were really like, oh, it's okay, you'll get a second chance, we'll help you out. And I was like, this kid needs help. Like, he needs guidance. You know, he needs somebody to put his foot down. And sure enough, the kid went to jail for he's in jail for like 15 years for armed robbery.
Oh,
yeah. And I just think if people quit giving him chances and just put their foot down and said, this is the way life is. Life is not forgiving, and you need to face consequences. Then he probably would have maybe thought twice about having consequences for the armed robbery. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But regardless, I'm very strict about this has to be done this way and on this time and as I assign it. And so students kind of don't know what to expect when they get in there. And I'm like, nope, this is the way it is. And by the way, you failed. And they're like, well, I can't fail. Well, you did. You know,
that's not funny.
I know, but
any extra credit I can get?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. You mean that I don't get to walk in graduation? Yes. That's exactly what I mean. And then the funny thing is the guidance counselors come to me. They're like, is there anything we can do? I'm like, no. And they're like, well, and technically the grade discretion's up to you, but if there's any way we can do grade recovery, no. No, we can't, because I'm just going to keep giving in, and then this kid's going to go, yeah. Oh, well, there's always a way out.
They had 4 years to get it right.
There's always a way out of it. And that's there's too many people that think there's always a way out of something, and there's not. You know, there's some things there aren't a way out. You can't go into work late 3 times in a row or even once sometimes and expect a way out of it, but they think that there is. They think that life will be forgiving.
There's always a safety net.
Yeah, there always is. That's what they believe. And,
yeah, it's the American way.
It's frustrating, man, but I don't know. I like being positive in class, too, and I do show them. I'll tell you this. The only thing I do differently in my class that a lot of teachers don't is actually go over life lessons. I have life lesson Friday.
Oh, nice.
So every Friday, I'll go over, like, how to do their taxes, how to rent a car, how to buy a car, how to sign a lease, what the process for getting a mortgage. And they really like that kind of stuff, which is cool, because then they will literally mess it. The worst part is when I see my students doing well.
Better than you?
I literally have like a student who just bought a house, and she's like, just bought a house. Shout out to Mr. Siebel for the help with the mortgage. I'm like, who'd you go through?
can you help me out?
I've been denied. I need a co-sign.
Yeah.
You know, like, but that's the thing is they do so well, and I'm like, man, maybe I should take some of my own advice sometimes, you know? Like, that's the thing about teaching is sometimes you give people advice, and you're like, man, if I had actually taken this advice that I'm giving out right now, I wouldn't be teaching. But I don't know. It's such a weird profession, but yeah, especially teaching seniors. Yeah. Yeah, I teach seniors in high school, and that's the weirdest part to me is, like, they're adults.
Yeah.
You know, and they're out there getting ready to vote and go to school and take on $70,000 in student loans, which is the dumbest thing in our society, by the way. You know,
yeah.
There's so many things. That's the one thing that just baffles me is like, hey, we'll give you $100,000 in student loans on a career that you've never tried out. You don't know if you'll like it, and you might fail out of school, but you'll still owe us that money.
Yeah.
You know, and it will never go away, and you can't declare bankruptcy, and you can't get out of it, and, you know, and I guess that's the harsh reality of it, but that's a hard thing to understand when you're 18, that it never does go away, you know?
Yeah.
Especially that kind of, people, they've never had a loan before, and suddenly you're not even giving them a $300 credit card, like, they'll get denied for a credit card.
Oh, but those credit cards, though, man, I got so many credit cards my freshman year in college.
Oh, yeah. And they're horrible. You get like the first financial bank.
It's like 25%.
Yeah. And by the way, we have a $95 annual fee, yeah. $115 sign-up fee. You have $7 in available credit by the time you get the card in the mail. Yeah. You know.
And but here's a T-shirt and a frisbee.
Yeah. My school, they actually gave away pizza if you filled out a application. They were like, and guess what? They had a long line because we were like, pizza. Yeah, we just got to check your credit and give you a $500 credit card. You're like, well, we get the pizza after that, right?
Yeah. $100, I'm rich.
Yeah. And then besides, we had a $95 annual fee that just tacked on right away. It's just the way it is, man. All right, guys, stick around. We got more Real Laughs right here on Real Radio when we get back.
Guys, it's me, Miguel, from Real Laughs on Real Radio, and I love to have a good time, but I also like to take some things serious. And something you should take serious is getting your house painted. I was in the home repair business. I have seen some hack jobs done. I have seen some people ruin homes because they went ahead and hired the cheapest guy to do a paint job and not the best guy. That's why I'm proud to stand by AAA All-Star Painting. My good buddy Jason Yates handles all the business for AAA All-Star Painting. He makes sure that you get quality jobs as well as getting the greatest price possible with his crew. AAA All-Star Painting has all licenses. They're bonded. They're the kind of company that you can trust for any work you want done. That's why when I need anything painted, be it my mother's house, my father's place, anything, I reach out to AAA All-Star Painting and I call my buddy Jason Yates at 321-624-2228. Trust me, you don't want to put something like painting your home or your business in the hands of the cheapest person possible. You want to choose somebody that has quality work, uses the best paints, and you can trust. And there's nobody I trust more than AAA All-Star Painting. So call my good buddy Jason Yates at 321-624-2228 for all your home painting or commercial painting needs.
Comedy is back in Winter Haven. We have the brand new Winter Haven Laughs at the Ritz Theater. We're continuing with the shows. The last one was completely sold out. This one is happening this Saturday, May 11th. We have Tim Moffitt, otherwise known as Tim the Dairy Farmer. He's from Blue Collar Comedy, handpicked by Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy. This guy is absolutely outstanding. You can get tickets at winterhavenlaughs.com. Don't forget, we're also doing the pre- and post-show parties at Fire Eatery and Grill, as well as goodies will be provided by Gourmet Goodies during the show as well. So be sure to check out tickets at winterhavenlaughs.com for this Saturday, May 11th, with Tim the Dairy Farmer. Hey guys, we're back. Real Laughs on Real Radio. My name is Devin Siebold. Miguel and James are out riding a solo. But I got my producer, Casey, in the house, and we got special guest, Jay from the Florida Man Show that is happening at the Fringe Festival. You can find him online. Just look up Florida Man on Facebook with the Fringe Festival, correct? Or they can go to OrlandoFringe.org in order to look up tickets and show times. Their first show is going to be May 16th. You can also find us on iTunes, by the way, and we are on the iHeartRadio app as well. Are you a married man, Jay?
I am not.
You're not. Are
I'm
you in a,
solo.
In a relationship at all? Or?
I am in a new relationship.
Ooh, interesting. Oh, okay, so I threw out this question on Facebook, got some interesting responses. Casey, you've been in relationships before, right?
Yes.
Awesome. And so this is an interesting question. Just think about your responses, guys. If you ever had any of these, I'm going to read off some of the other responses that I had. The question that I pitched online was, have you ever dated someone or had a significant other that had a terrible habit or a quirk about them that you just couldn't stand, that just made you squirm? And some of the responses were excellent. By the way, everybody on here that responded was women. Women bitch about everything. they were so quick to throw the other man under the bus. Like, some of them even tagged. Like, yeah, his name's Derek. He's an asshole. Derek did this. And I'm like, why are you doing it? Why? You've been waiting for this moment to, like, vent online and just call out your man. One was, my ex used to brush his teeth in the shower, and it drove me insane. That's a weird one. Do you brush your teeth in the shower?
No.
I've never known anybody to do that.
No, I've never brushed my teeth in the shower.
I feel weird brushing my teeth when it's warm water involved.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
yes.
the weird thing.
Yes.
Like, it's got to be cold water. Yeah. You can't, ugh. Like,
it kind of helps wake me up, like especially in the morning.
If I go to rinse and it's warm water, like, I feel like I'm just peeing in my mouth.
Yes.
<I'm> like, what? Like, it's just a weird thing. It's like
weird dirt body water.
Yeah, man. And then this one said their ex used to crack every bone in his body when he stood up from sitting or laying down. And like, you just stand up. I had a friend that used to do that. Just wake up and just start cracking all the
bones. Oh, like intentionally, not just...
Yeah, like intentionally, like snap his neck, left, right, you know, elbows and shoulder blades and everything like that. You think that you just wouldn't get up eventually. Like,
yeah,
that just would cause...
You're just creating more arthritis.
What are you, the Tin Man, you know? another one said he would grind his... Jackie said that her ex would grind his teeth in his sleep so loud and so long.
Oh,
that would be a weird one. I don't know that I could listen to that. My kid would grind his teeth just a little bit. He stopped but at a young age when he first started getting teeth, I would hear it, and it was just the sound would make my skin crawl. There was a guy that used to chew ice, and chewing ice, I actually get that one. My ex used to chew ice, and he used to drive me insane. I had a buddy of mine who used to love, he'd grab like the plastic pin caps, and he would put it in his mouth, and he would just, and it would just crackle in his mouth, and he would just chew on the pin caps.
No, did that when I was 7.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
right alongside the glue, right?
Yeah.
We finally got a mail to chime in. John said one of his dates would yell out her ex's name at exactly the wrong time. I don't know that there would be more than one of that. that's not.
You stuck around for a second.
Yeah, it just keeps happening. I mean, eventually there's a trend here. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I was in, when I used to work at, I told you a story on Real Laughs, but it was a while ago, so I'm going to tell it real quick again. Since you're new, Jay, I had a friend who, he used to work at Hooters with me over in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And one day, him and this Hooter girl went into this other room at my friend Mike's house, and they started just banging, going at it. And we were all just sitting on the couch, and we were just chilling, and that was their thing, whatever. I mean, like, it really wasn't that big of a deal. His house was kind of like the pad where you go to do that stuff, you know? And I never forget that she's like, oh, Steve. And his name was Chad. And he, all of a sudden you hear the bed stop and he goes, it's Chad, bitch. And then she goes, oh, yeah, Chad. And then the bed starts going again. And I was
like, so he just needed to correct
was, me. Yeah, he just stopped everything. He's like, just get it right. I don't care about this. Just get it right. And like, it was such a moment where I was just like, oh, that's,
no, this bitch needs to know. It's Chad.
It's Chad. Like, I was like, you have a Hooter girl. What do you care? Like, are you going to marry her? You know, like, it just didn't matter at that point. Yeah. But it was hysterical. She was
Chad.
Yeah. She was really drunk. And actually, she left that night. And when she left that night, she fell into a wall. But, like, she just walked and then just tripped, and her head was the only thing that hit the side of the house. Oh. And she got up, and, I mean, it was Macho Man Randy Savage busted open. Stream of blood coming down, and she's like,
I'm fine.
Yeah. She's like, oh, my God.
I'm fine.
Yeah. She just, like, dabbled it a little bit, like, was it makeup will cover it up, and then just went away, and it was, oh, man.
Now, Susie, when you come into work tomorrow, she's like, got bandages. Susie, I'm sorry. We don't need you today. Cut.
I ran into a wall.
Here's one that would bother the hell out of me. Amanda said that her ex used to sleep with the bathroom fan on because he liked the sound. Fans, I'm totally on board.
Yeah, white noise.
Yes.
But bathroom fans, I think he just dropped the deuce and was like, oh, I just like the sound. Just right? I just like the sound. Shut up.
Either that or he knows that he has to get up in the middle of the night, and so he's covering it that time too.
Yeah, he's like,
just in case.
Just to keep the fan constantly running. This one bothers me because I've known people like this. She said that her ex used to moan when he ate.
Oh,
like a loud, obnoxious bedroom, like,
that's so awkward. Mm.
I've got a coworker that I can't go to the bathroom when he's in there. Like, he will walk in and I'll be like, I'll wait, you know, and I'll just literally go, just leave and come back in like 10 minutes because he will go up to the urinal and be like, ugh.
Just an audible urinator.
And then he'll unzip. And as soon as it starts, he goes, ugh.
Like he's been holding it for 12 hours.
Yeah. And then as he's finishing, he's like,
is he passing stones like every time he pees?
It sounds like it. But he's older. But there's a lot of guys that do that. They just sound like they got to let you know they're relieved.
Yes.
But I just never, like, it's a constant thing to where as soon as he comes walking in, I'm like, oh my God. You know, and he could have just had one cup of coffee. And I'm like, what are you doing over there? It doesn't make any sense to me. But the moaning thing, not a good one. There's another one. This is a weird one. They would emphasize a specific letter. Like, it had an accent if you didn't understand the word without pronouncing it. I don't understand that one, but I'll go. It says when they emphasize, so their ex used to emphasize a specific letter, like if it was an accent or you didn't understand the word without pronouncing it.
I literally don't know what
that is. I want to respond. I don't understand.
Like, for instance, this is a guess.
Can you better pronounce your
You just said literally.
Literally.
So they would probably say literally.
Yeah.
Emphasizing the T instead of literally. Literally.
Yeah, like morning. Yeah. You know, like, you want to hang out tomorrow? You know, tomorrow? Like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I could see that.
That's like a grammar Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I can see that.
My husband says supposedly every single time.
You baby. Spaghetti.
Yes. Supposedly. I'll tell you the one thing that bothers me so much, man. And I posted about it right as I got on the Monsters and I thought I would never get invited back.
Oh, no.
Sandwich.
Oh,
Russ Rollins has that thing where he says sandwich.
Yeah.
And it destroys
me. He's MC Sandwich.
God, it hurts me. Like, physically saying sandwich and not sandwich. Like, the sandwich.
Well, it's something that he probably said as a kid and just was never corrected.
I guess.
Like, paschetti instead of spaghetti. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine a 30-year-old man? Yeah, I'd like some paschetti.
I know. When I was a kid, I used to say squirrel. Like, it was a squirrel, but I'd be like, squirrel. I didn't know how to say squirrel. I'd be like, squirrel. Like, I had 12 L's in it. Is there anything you ever had an ex that did anything that just bothered the hell out of you? That you just couldn't stand? I've had exes that had to have fans on, which wasn't a big deal. The fan thing doesn't bother me. I've had TV exes where they had to have the TV playing, and that one is we've got to negotiate because I get in the white noise mode it'll be playing, and then I'll miss my alarm. Because the alarm will go off.
It's not loud enough.
Yeah, but the TV is canceling it out, you know? Or I'll wake up in the middle of the damn night because it'll be like, you know, some infomercial. Like, the, you know, those guys are so loud and they have the sounds incredibly louder. I had a few of those. I haven't had anybody that I can say has really had a pet peeve of mine. I had a girl who I used to kiss and make out with sometimes. But she would have like she had an invisible mustache.
So it was like blonde, so you couldn't see it.
But I could feel it. Like I could feel stubble, and I was like, no. Yeah.
That's weird.
First time I kissed her, I was like, what's going on here? You know, like I mean, like it was such a weird thing. But she was Alaskan, and she had like very fair hair. Like I don't know if that was. I mean, like almost Norwegian, but she was from Alaska. Yeah,
because
you
would associate
with
darker hair, you know.
Yeah, like Eskimo.
Yeah.
But not her. It was just a weird. There it was.
I would say the closest thing, the things popping into my mind is I went to school in Northwest Missouri, at a school called Northwest Missouri State, and small town, 10,000 people. So to go really on a date, you had to drive about 45 minutes to like get to Kansas City area.
Right.
And so if you're going to see a movie late at night, then you have that long, awkward drive home if it doesn't go well. But girls would fall asleep in the car, even though the date went well.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would fall asleep. And
that sounds like the date got better. Anyways.
But it was just weird because I was like, you know, I took you to dinner, did all this stuff. Now she's falling asleep in the car ride home.
She's got the itis,
right?
Yeah. I'm like, come on. You at least owe me enough. Stay awake. At least let's try and talk. Regardless if it was good or bad, at least help me stay awake as well.
But then Bill Cosby like, zippity-zoo, you got a winner.
Yeah. It's this disco biscuit.
Doing all right.
Eat the button pop.
No, I've had some weird exes. I had one. This is one that I just thought of. She was a smoker, and she would, like, in between cigarettes, it was like a thing that she would do where she would, like, blow, like, her mouth would, like, go out to the side, and it was almost like she was blowing smoke out the side of her mouth, like, smoking. When she wasn't smoking.
So it was like, just a natural thing.
She would constantly, like, her mouth would always go to the side.
Was she chewing the inside of her lip?
Do that? It looked like it, but it was imitating a smoking motion more than anything. I've also tried to talk to, but I could never date. You ever had those women that close their eyes when they're, like, talking to you? It, like, they're looking at you, and they're like, I just don't know if... the eyes just stay closed for entirely too long. You're like, why is there a 12-second blink with you? Yeah. Like, you know, and it's not even... I don't know. It's a nervous thing, or...
Oh, for me, if you can't... Like, if they're talking to me, but they're looking away from me, that drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah?
You know, like, at least look in my general direction, but if you're talking to me and looking way... You know, they just can't...
I'm that guy, though.
Are you really?
I have the ADHD style. Like, I can't focus.
All over the place.
Yeah, I have trouble focusing. I gotta look. And the thing is, I thought about ADHD, but I don't think I have that because I'm focused on everything. I'm hearing the things that are going on.
Yeah.
I just literally am trying to take in like 20 different things at once. So I'm not ignoring
anybody.
Too much
stimulation.
I feel like there's a lot of stimulation and there it is, you know?
Gotta take it all in.
Yeah. But I'm not. I do think that sometimes I'm like, man, I'm being rude. You know, like I should look at this guy. Or when the person, like, I'm looking at them, and then I look behind them, and I'm concentrating, and then they start to turn around. I'm like, crap.
What are you looking at?
I'm obviously now being exceedingly rude. I shouldn't do that. All right, guys, you can. You can find us online at facebook.com/reallassradio. Don't forget, this week, May 11th, there is a big show in the Ritz at Winter Haven. We have the second comedy show. The first one was sold out. This one will probably sell out as well. Tim Moffitt from Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Foxworthy's Blue Collar Comedy is going to be there. You can find tickets on winterhavenlaughs.com. That is going to be a huge one for you guys to come check out. That is this Saturday. And also, don't forget, Florida Man's Fringe Festival starts May 16th. OrlandoFringe.org. Find Florida Man on Facebook as well. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow night with brand new laughs right here on Real Laughs on Real Radio.